If you missed any of today's show, don't worry. Just go to our library of podcasts at iTunes.com and subscribe for free to Winning on Wall Street. Now, here's the Wiz.
All right, welcome back to Winning on Wall Street. I'd like to introduce J.C. Peretz. He is founder and president of Eagle Bay Capital. He's a very smart guy. We love having you on the show. J.C., welcome. You there?
Yeah, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, perfect.
All right.
You know, the last time you were on the show, you were talking about some technical indicator that was bearish, and you've been right on. Now you've talked about the bearish divergence in the market breadth. Could you talk about that?
Sure. This is this is something we've been seeing for a while, is really this breadth deterioating. So, you know, there's an old cliche that this is a market of stocks, right? And rather than a stock market. And sure, that might be cliche and everything like that, but there really is something to be said for that because, sure, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is its own index and it has its own futures and everything like that, but there are 30 components to the Dow Jones Industrial Average. S&P 500 has 500 of them, Russell 2000. You know, the NASDAQ 100 has 100 different companies within that. So if an index itself is to make new highs, its components need to take it there, right? So what we like to do is that, when we're looking at a market index, let's call it the S&P 500, we also want to see, you know, with every new high in the index, we also want to see an expansion in stocks also making new highs. In other words, you know, S&P closed at another all-time high. We want to see more stocks hitting new 52-week highs than on the previous 52-week high in the S&P maybe a couple of months back, right? That's what we call confirmation. And we really saw that for several years, 2010, 11, 12, et cetera. You know, really in the fourth quarter of last year, we started to see that start to diverge, where with every new high in the market, October, then a new high in November, a new high in December, there were fewer and fewer stocks in the New York Stock Exchange also hitting new 52-week highs. You know, and most recently, the S&P 500 closed at a new all-time high last month, and there were basically, you know, almost zero stocks in the New York Stock Exchange also hitting new 52-week highs, nowhere near the levels that we were seeing last year and the year before that. And that's worrisome.
You know, the Dow has hung in there. It's flat from its high. It's held in there. The Dow and the S&P are holding just below all-time record highs. But the high beta frost stocks have gotten absolutely destroyed, down 30, 40, 50%. Could we be seeing a correction in those stocks and the averages will hold in? Or will the down move in those stocks drag the markets down with them?
I don't necessarily think that they're going to drag them down. I would prefer to say that they're actually leading it, right? Because they're not, the smaller names are not going to drag the bigger names. But think about it. If you're a value, if you're in a mutual fund or you're a long-only fund, you need to allocate capital. You can't just sit in cash. It has to be somewhere. So what we're seeing, and as we talked about it last time I was on the show, we're kind of seeing this reversion to the mean where money is flowing into value and out of growth. And in growth comes, you know, Russell 2000, for example, ton of growth names, obviously. NASDAQ has a lot of tech, momentum, growth, and those are the indexes that have been getting hit the hardest. Now, if you look at the indexes with the big value, energy, for example, you and I, we talked about energy, money rotating.
So that's what you were talking about.
Yep, energy. Then these are some of the biggest market capitalization names that we have in our country. I mean, look at just Chevron and Exxon together represent almost 10% of the entire S&P 500. So when you have these energy names leading, it's going to hold the Dow and the S&P up. But the Russell 2000 and the Nasdaq, they don't have any of these energy names. They don't. They're growth. And as money comes out of growth, that's why you're seeing, look at the Russell 2000 today, absolutely destroyed. And the Dow was up and the S&P was basically flat. So today was a great example of that. And it's not necessarily that the small cap names are going to lead the large caps down. It's just almost like an inevitability sort of thing.
Well, the Dow yesterday was up like over 100 points and my entire screen was red.
There you
go.
It
was like, what?
How, there you go.
So
again,
this
is a market of stocks, right? You nailed it. You're 100% right. That's exactly right.
So last time you mentioned energy stocks, and you said the energy sector gets strong at the end of a cycle.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's normal. So, you know, historically speaking, this is a late cycle sector. You know, energy, you know, we've been in this bull market in, you know, in the S&P 500 here in the United States, U.S. stocks for 5 years, and energy has been in a downtrend relative to the S&P this entire time. You know, it's been underperforming the overall averages, and that's normal. You know, financials were the leaders. Consumer discretionaries were the leaders. Technology were the big leaders. You know, these are early cycle sectors, and then we tend to see rotation into energy and utilities towards the end, and who's doing the best this year? Energy and utilities. So, you know, really all makes sense. You know, last time we talked about, you know, putting the pieces of the puzzle together and kind of, you know, figuring out the money flow and what to expect next based on that flow of money, and that really speaks volumes. And we're seeing the same thing in the bond market, giving us essentially the same bearish information, the market breadth, like you mentioned before. You know, so it's all really agreeing with each other. So I think lower prices for U.S. stocks are coming, for sure.
But we've already had so much lower prices for Priceline, down 20%. You're saying it can go down more.
Well, these are big momentum names, and they're going to get clobbered, and they're going to have their bounces, and they're going to be much more higher beta than an ExxonMobil or a General Electric. But, you know, when the selling comes, they're going to hit all of the names. I mean, it's an inevitability sort of thing. So I don't necessarily think that the small caps are going to drag the large caps down. I think it's just they're the first ones to get hit. You know, easy money on the way up, like right? So it's escalator up, elevator down. So we're seeing these elevators down every day. Another one gets clobbered. You know, what was the stock of the day today? What, Tesla? Another perfect example of a momentum name. Got absolutely destroyed, down 11%, went out at the lows of the day. I mean, you guys are technicians. You look at charts. I mean, does it get any worse than that?
No, it doesn't. So let me ask you a question. How would you play a market sell-off? Any ETFs or ways the retail investor could participate?
Yeah, I mean, you could just, you know, I'm traditional. If I think the S&P 500 is going to go lower, I will just short the S&P 500. I'll short SPY. It's one of the most liquid vehicles in the entire world. You know, it's a great way to take advantage of it. There are other ways with leverage exchange traded funds, and there are other indexes that are much more volatile, and depending on your time horizon, depending on your risk parameters, which were all different. So for me to tell somebody that they should do something would be disingenuous from my part. I have to do what's good for us and our investors. If I like the S&P going lower, I'll just short the S&P. You know, different investors could do it different ways. You know, I love the relative trade where you could be long energy short the S&P 500. So you're almost like neutral equities as a group in that particular trade, but can take advantage of the relative strength in energy, things like that. So there's a lot of different ways to take advantage of a market decline. It really just depends on who you are and what your goals are.
I mean, this is amazing. This is really good information. If people want to get in touch with you, is it possible for them to communicate with you?
Absolutely. We're launching actually our new research product. It comes out next month. You know, we're really excited about that announcement. You know, we've kind of been giving everybody the heads up over the last few months as we've been building it. You can find the blog allstarcharts.com. There's good information there. Always, you can reach me at info@eaglebaycapital.com. You know, one last thing that I wanted to touch on real quick was today's reverse on the U.S. dollar. I think that was really, really interesting. We're at a very key level, support level in the dollar index. So you saw the euro get clobbered. This could potentially be, and I think I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but I definitely want to start talking about this. Today could have been the beginning of an epic squeeze in the U.S. dollar index. I'm willing to say that if we get any sort of confirmation tomorrow, close out the week in a bullish way, man, this could be a serious, serious trade to the upside. There's a lot of pessimism out there in the U.S. dollar. Nobody likes it. I think this will catch a lot of market participants off guard, and that's what makes the best trades.
Is the strong U.S. dollar good for the market or bad for the market?
You know, I can make an argument in both directions, but I'll tell you this much. If you go back in 2008 when the stock market got clobbered, where did money flow to? Went into the U.S. dollar. It's one of the safest places to be in the whole world. So if the market does get crushed, I could totally see a huge dollar index rally. Absolutely.
All right. J.C. Peretz, we love having you on the show. Founder, president, Eagle Bay Capital. Thanks. Have a great, I hope tomorrow is up, although every Friday has been down for the... Anyway,
right.
J.C., thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. Really do.
All right, man. We love you. All right, J.C. Peretz, and I'm going to get his newsletter. I will. And I think this guy is brilliant and experienced. He knows the market. All right, folks, you're listening to Winning on Wall Street. We'll be right back.